morning. Welcome to our Harvest Festival service. We've just switched the hymns slightly. I think Great is Thy Faithfulness is perhaps a bit more fitting to start off with now, because God is always faithful. Even when we're ill or in hospital and places, he's there with us. Lord, we thank you that you are so faithful, that you are always there for us, whatever we go through. We thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. I just want to read one of God's promises after Noah, obviously, come out the ark, was giving an offering to the Lord. So Genesis 8, verse 21, 22. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. Never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." We're here today to celebrate and be thankful to God for the harvest, for all that God has given us, for our health, for our lives, and everything else. But on this Harvest Festival day, let's pray. Loving Lord, at this harvest time, we thank you for all the good things you've given us. We thank you for creating this beautiful earth and all the varied life forms within it. Forgive us for having recklessly exploited it and depleted its resources. We confess our part in this. Please help us to be wiser stewards of your world. Help us to recognise the interdependence of all life and to turn away from self-interest and greed. Help the governments and the people in this world who make decisions to make good ones. May we live in such a way that we do not rob others from their means to live. Help us to protect your creation, the beauty of all around us and everything that you've done. You've given us so much. We give thanks for the work, all those people who work on the land and the sea to provide our daily food that we take for granted so often. We pray for the farmers in all parts of the world who've planted the seed, tended the crop, and the fruit of whose labours we enjoy each day, especially in this country where we have so much. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do give us. We grant that they may receive fair return for their labours and hope for the future with a stable climate. We pray for those who process and distribute our food and for ourselves, that we'll shop wisely and with thought for others, and that all round the world, those people who have not got much food, who are short of food, and whose harvests have failed for lack of rain, that they will get food from the various people, agencies and charities that work with them. We thank you, Lord. Give us a generous heart, that from our riches we may increasingly give our support to those working among the poor and the underprivileged in the world. And keep us mindful of your commandment to love our neighbour, whether that's here in Swallow Nest or the wider world. We also want to pray for the homeless people and people who depend on the charity of others. We pray for the work of your local food banks, providing food for those in need. Help us to share the harvest of the world more fairly, so that everyone can be fed and there will be no more starvation. We particularly lift up various places around the world, in Africa and places, where we hear of little children dying of malnutrition. Loving Father, you are the source of all life and giver of all that is good. Hear our prayers, we pray, and grant that, in accordance to your will, that these people, all of us, will have enough food and help us to be grateful for all that we've got. We thank you, Lord, for everything that we have. Amen. We think of the Father's love for us. He's provided so much food, so much that we in this country just assume appears. You know, you talk to little children and they don't necessarily, unless they've been out in the countryside, realise that things grow. It's just there in the cupboard, in the shops. But we know our Father's love is even greater than the things he provides for us, that he gave us his Son. Just think about those words. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I'm going to take up the offering, but please just think about those words. We thank you for all you've given us, Lord Jesus, and we pray that your blessing upon this small offering to you, that it will be used, that your kingdom will come in Swallow Nest and in the world. Just bless it, Lord, we pray, and for those who make the decisions of how it gets spent. We thank you for everything that you've given us. Amen.
Sunny morning. I hope it's sunny where you are. People that are watching us on YouTube, and as always, it's really good to be together. The verse for today on YouVersion this morning was from Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in his court, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. I thought this just was really very apt, especially as what Suzanne's already said this morning. And as we have this special Harvest Festival service to acknowledge God's provision and to thank him for all that he gives for us. We might not feel very thankful at the moment, some of us. Life throws many challenges at us, doesn't it? But there's always something to be thankful for. And if you can't be thankful for anything else today, just be thankful for Jesus. Because he loves us all unconditionally, and he's always there for us, and he loves us to bits. And there's a verse that I've heard. I don't know, it's not scripture, I don't think, and I don't know whether it's in a song, but it says that nothing we have done can make him love us less, and there's nothing that we can do to make him love us more. He just loves us, end of. And that's quite an amazing thing, I think, isn't it? So here we are, the beginning of September. Can you believe it? The kids are going back to school this week. And things are starting to come back to life a little bit after the summer break. As I said this morning, obviously, it's the Harvest Festival. And I just want to thank Jan personally and from us all for all the work that she's done in the church this weekend, for all the beautiful... So that's a lovely tribute as well, isn't it? And thank you for using your gifts for us, my dear. It looks beautiful. Thank you very much. The coffee morning yesterday was amazing. Thank you, everyone, who supported us in whatever way, whether you came, whether you helped in some way. These things don't happen without... I'm not on.
No, you're
right. Right, the coffee morning again was brilliant, as I said. And we have raised so far £266.15. That is going to Macmillan Cancer Support. We are going to leave it open for a few weeks because they have their big fundraising event at the end of September. So if anybody wants to contribute or donate in the meantime, that's fine, and we'll send it off later. So we have a few things starting to happen this week. Prayer and meditation via Zoom is tomorrow morning at 9:30. The ARC playgroup is back in action on Tuesday morning from 10 until 11:30.
and from 1 until 2:30. And a busy day to get everybody back into the swing, a mini-messy church in the afternoon at 3:30 until 5. I'd just like to say that throughout the summer weeks, Jan's been running a summer club. I'm sure most of you are aware of it, but I just wanted to say that it's been brilliant. She started off with a few, perhaps about 8, was it, to start with? Finished up last week, well, the week before, but 22. So that's absolutely amazing that we are getting children and their parents into church, and we just pray that, that will continue to happen through all the other stuff that she's doing as well. So the prayer walk's starting again this Wednesday at 10 o'clock. If you can meet at Swalnest Co-op car park, if you're able to join us there, please. Thursday the 7th, it's the lunch club at 12 o'clock. We had nearly 30 people last week. We didn't have enough seats, did we? We had to get another table out. Brilliant. Please keep inviting your friends, family, and anyone that you think might enjoy. Just a couple of hours having talking, just eating, and just chilling out and enjoying each other's company. Next Saturday, the night, it's all about food, isn't it? Men's breakfast. 8:30 down here at church. If you can let Michael or Mark or George know, that'd be good, but doesn't matter if you can't, just turn up. There's always plenty of food. So a few advance notices. The ladies' meeting are starting again on Monday the 11th of September, and that's with a lunch that's been provided here at church at 1 o'clock. And the prospect meeting will be the Sunday the 17th, and that's in the afternoon at 3:30. I think Jan mentioned last Sunday about an event that she's hoping to plan, a social event, if you like, but here at church, on Saturday the 7th of October. She's called it Axe and Snacks, which is, yeah, good play on words, that, yeah. And as Rob rightly said last week, if we don't have any axe, we'll just have to have snacks. The idea is to be an evening of musical talent or anything else that people feel that they can contribute to. Just a really nice time for us to get together. So if there's anything that you feel you can do, you can play an instrument or tell good, clean jokes, sing, whatever, anything that you feel it'd be nice to do, and no pressure, but it'd just be really nice if people could do that to make it a really lovely evening, and then we can have a cup of tea halfway through, I think, is it? Something like that, yeah. So that's on the 7th of October. And just to finish, I've said it's September, so that means Christmas is just round the corner, doesn't it? If Philip was here, he'd be able to tell me how long, but it's just round the corner. So Hazel's given me this morning, she's had some information from BMS. She had the prayer guide, but also a Christmas card catalogue. Now, she's quite happy to do the ordering, which is really good. Thank you. We haven't got a table at the back this morning, but we'll make sure that it's there next week. Anybody want to borrow the catalogue, have a look, and then she's done a list here. So if you want anything ordering, please do write it on and then see Hazel about it. Thank you. Tina.
Just a quickie, I won't keep you very long. A couple of weeks ago, we had an event for Smile Train, if you remember. Can you hear me, Pearl? Yeah, I thought you were looking at me. I didn't know if you could hear me or not. And it's just to fill you in on what we raised. We did have a great morning. Many from here came. We had people from the Methodist down the road in our village, people from St. James, our neighbours. It was a really good event, so thank you all. And thank you all for your contribution. We actually took £584.65. So, and the church here have given us a gift from your tithe fund, to which we are really, really grateful. So it means that we now can send away and give some children a new life for 8 operations. So that is absolutely phenomenal. And we've now done 81 children's operations. So it's been amazing. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for all your contribution and all your prayers. Thank you.
The reading's from Psalm 46, and it's page 471 in your Bibles. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, for he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.
February. It's good to be here again up the front. And I love harvest services. It's colourful, isn't it? And the hymns that we sing are good and give such praise and thanks to God. And we've got many token samples here, potatoes and onions and banana and oranges, carrots, cabbage. I mean, we import stuff from all over the world, don't we? As well as our stuff grown locally. I don't know if it's a man thing, but I grow the vegetables at home because I like to grow things that I can eat. Marbeth, by and large, grows the flowers. And I could imagine Rob and Jenny and their boys on a long journey, and you've got to go from A to Z, fruit, flowers and vegetables through the alphabet. There's a game for you to play. Don't start doing it now, else you'll be distracted. But the sheer variety of plants and animals in the world is, well, literally beyond counting. I don't know where I got these figures from, but there are reckoned to be about 8,600 species of birds. Anybody interested in statistics? Probably 30,000 species of fish. Dog lovers, 400 breeds have been counted and probably adding. There's only 36 species of cats. Sorry if you're a cat lover. Anybody grow roses? 250 species of roses and 250 species of geraniums. Did I mention fish? 30,000. Reptiles, probably 6,000 species. And insects, well, they are in the millions beyond counting. And I just love the fact that all of this represents the creativity of our God, his infinite wisdom, the stuff he's brought into being in such a colourful world with such incredible variety. There was an article in the local Metro paper back in July by a social scientist called Mary Parker, and the article is about wonder, and it struck a chord with me. She says, we're just not very good at knowing what makes us happy. We have been conditioned to think that hedonic or hedonistic happiness, the pursuit of pleasure, will raise the happiness threshold. But it doesn't. We just go back to our baseline very quickly after we bought the shoes or drunk the cocktail or whatever that thing is that makes us feel good. However, scientists have discovered that the benefit of feeling wonderful are greater than that of happiness. Well, that's an opinion I think the Bible would agree with. From a psychological point of view, wonder makes us more curious, more creative. Some of you here are very creative people. And Janet needs you here on that date in October. Another plug for you. And she's pointing at me. More desirous of studying the world around us. It makes us more humble, less materialistic, and more generous. I wonder how good we are at wondering. You know, when we go out walking in the countryside, when we look at the stuff here this morning representing our harvest service, are we good at thinking, isn't that wonderful? You might go outside a traditional grocery store with all those boxes outside, just immeasurable fruit and vegetables on display. And many of the authors of the Bible would agree with that sense of wonder. Just an example from the Psalms. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun, moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. And so it goes on and on, acknowledging God as creator and expressing the idea that the whole of God's creation gives praise to its maker. And in Isaiah chapter 40, some of you will know the chapter where the prophet, this is God's word through Isaiah, to whom, let me make sure I've got the right verse, 25 of chapter 40, to whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Many expressions in Scripture of the wonder of God's creation. The Apostle Paul does it in Colossians chapter 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus in this way. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And then I like this bit. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Be good for you to remember that when you hear the news, that ultimately in Christ all things hold together and will be held together is the final word. Okay, well, our forebears considered the earth to be immovable, unchanging, solid. They looked at the rocks and the mountains and so on and considered the world permanent. And we're a generation in which our children are growing up with a different view. Possible outcomes of global warming, constantly on our news. Exploitation of the Earth's resources. So we're looking for new forms of energy. Political instabilities that seems to increase in a global world where terrorism happens even in cyberspace. And so I could go on. And in the psalm that Marbeth read for us, Psalm 46, it seems as though the writer is writing on behalf of a community that had witnessed what we would call a natural disaster. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way. Sounds like an earthquake, doesn't it? And the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. And then a tsunami, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. You know, expressing the a world that can be incredibly unstable and unreliable. What can we learn from this psalm that's positive? Well, the psalm begins where the writer speaks on behalf of a community of God's people who put their trust in God. God, he is our refuge and our strength. He is that ever-present help in trouble. And one commentator says these words, refuge and strength, speak of both God's security and his power to defend us. But the psalmist reminds us that we cannot even find security in the ground beneath us, and that it is God who is the ultimate, unshakable reality and the greatest power of all. Can we have an amen?
Amen.
God is the greatest, unshakable, in fact, the only unshakable reality and the greatest power of all. And the commentator says this, the great mystery of God's power and protection is that it often remains hidden and unseen. And that's true until a moment of crisis when it is powerfully there to protect us. I'm sure Alan Turner up in the hospital in Wakefield this morning, as we prayed for him and lift him to God's throne of grace, I believe he's aware, as a man who knows and loves God, he's aware of that reality of God as his refuge, as his strength this morning. By the way, in addition to refuge and strength, that phrase about God, this psalm has a twice repeated refrain. The Lord Almighty, Yahweh Sabaoth, is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Repeats it again at the end. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I think this begs the question, what then ought our response to be? All right, hearing all this and me proclaiming it here at the front this morning, but what should our response be? Verse 10. Be still, the psalmist says. Be still. Know that I am God. If we can wonder at what God has created, how much more ought we to learn to wonder at the Creator himself? You know, I honestly believe that the bigger and the greater the grasp we have of the nature of God, the greater our sense of security. And I think one of the dangers that we can face as Christians is it's so easy to domesticate God. It's so easy to think, well, God made us in our image, but we then can make him in our image. We can reduce him to being manageable and domesticate him, if you like. And sometimes we need to be reminded of the greatness of God, the immensity of his character, that he can be that fortress, he can be that refuge, he can be that strength. Otherwise, he's not God. And one of the terms for God that this psalmist uses in verse 4, the Most High. He's the Most High God. And in that refrain that I mentioned, he's the Lord Almighty. Yahweh Sabaoth in the Hebrew. Let's think about the idea of stillness for a moment. It's not easy in today's world to be still, is it? We can be bombarded with information overload, TV news, endless information on our laptops, Androids, tablets. You've only to come with me on a Monday morning or on the bus into Rotherham. Everybody's on their mobile phones, constant conversation, constant information. It's almost ceaseless in today's world. And it takes real discipline to develop the idea of having times of stillness. When I was at Bible college, they called it having a morning quiet time. And in fact, in those days, they were allowed to tell us we had to have a morning quiet time. And this big New Zealand man used to walk up the college corridors, I'm not making this up, with a big brass bell, 6:30 every morning. And he knew he needed to stand outside my room a bit longer and blast it a bit louder, because 6:30 to me was a bit on the early side. But before we breakfasted, before we showered, we had our quiet time. And to many today, that would seem antiquated, old-fashioned, but I thank God for it, because it brought that notion into my life of setting aside a time, whether it's first thing in the morning before we go to work, or if that's impossible, some time in the day when we discipline ourselves. The television's off, we find space somewhere, somehow, in a room, walking, in a place where we can just be still. And that is something I've sought to maintain over the last 54 years. We come back to this picture of God giving us security and strength. We all need that, don't we? We all need security. They're two basic human needs, security and strength. In verse 5, he's speaking about Jerusalem. And this will be very relevant to any Jewish viewers this morning. We may have some Jewish friends watching us this morning. And he says, God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Now, Jerusalem has been ransacked at least 40 times in its history, even in my lifetime. History proves her vulnerable despite its fortifications. Those of us who've been there, we know, we've seen the thickness of the walls and the height of the walls, the fact that you can only come into the city through its gates, which can be guarded and protected. But nevertheless, she's vulnerable despite her fortifications. But to the Jewish reader in this psalm, the very word Jerusalem is a symbol of strength, of national identity. It remains as God's city, God's gift to the nations. Somebody has said it wasn't the construction of the city that made it secure. Its strength lay not in its external walls, but in its contents. The psalmist says, God is within her. She will not fall. This is the simple yet profound statement of the psalmist. God, she will not fall. God will help her. And God has helped her through hundreds of years. The same this morning can be said of the body of Christ, his church. God is within her. God is within her. And we are his people only by grace alone, through faith alone. That's the way we become his people, isn't it? By God's grace, through faith in God's grace, by grace alone, through faith alone. That's the way we become Christians. That's the way we become members of the body of Christ, his church. But I want to finish with this at a personal level. Because if it doesn't become personal, it perhaps doesn't have all this, has perhaps little meaning to speak of Jerusalem and the days that the psalmist was living in and so on. But we need at a personal level to be able to speak of Christ in me. Christ in me. Perhaps in our changing and fast-moving world, We need to find times of stillness, to focus on our relationship to Christ, to speak with him, to allow his word to permeate into our innermost thoughts, to be saturated with the wonderful truth, the promises that Suzanne mentioned earlier on. She spoke of God's promises. We need those, do we not? And we need to allow our inmost being to be saturated with and to receive those things, to take time to receive those things if we are to perpetuate and continue and develop our relationship to Christ, and to be aware that we have this incredible privilege of speaking of Christ in me. I finish on a promise from the Bible. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will. It's his promise. He will draw near to you. And that's appropriate as we come to communion this morning. We can use these moments to draw near to God, to seek fellowship with God and with one another. The very word communion suggests fellowship, doesn't it? It being in communion with God and with each other. And I just felt very drawn to some verses in the Gospel of John as we just use these moments to prepare ourselves for communion, just to be quiet. So I just read quietly these words. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So maybe we need to use these moments just to make confession between us and God. Just to come to the Lord's table this morning to take these symbols of our blessed Saviour's body and blood, knowing that we've prepared ourselves, we've acknowledged before God our sins and sought his forgiveness, found again that wonderful sense of having been forgiven, having been restored, having a fresh sense of reconciliation with God. And so we praise you, Lord God, King of the universe, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup. "Drink from it, all of you," he said. "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." So, Lord, as we take these symbols, these emblems of our Saviour's body and blood, may we know the reality of that promise as those who've drawn near to God, that we know the God who draws near to us. Be real to us, Lord, this morning in the breaking of the bread. Give us that appetite and longing and heart's desire to seek you afresh and to find you, Lord, at your table. Amen. As you take the cup, maybe just look into that cup for a moment and just remind yourself that that red juice represents the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for you, ransomed not with silver or gold, Peter says, but with the precious blood of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And each time we do this, we're reminded of this wonderful truth that we're a ransomed people, a people that have been purchased and bought for God. The blood of Christ shed for us.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for all you have given us, especially your Son. Lord, just to lift up for a few moments those that we know that are in need at the moment. We pray for Alan and his family. And we pray for others that we know who are not well, that you will draw close to them, that they'll feel your presence, that they'll feel your love. Pray for family and friends as well, who may not know you, that through us and through other things, that they will see your love and want to get to know you. Lord, there are so many people that we meet day by day who are yet to know you. Have mercy, Lord, and draw close. And we thank you, Lord, that we know of your great love, that we know you, and we thank you for this. As we sing our last song, let's just focus on, you know, Jesus having died for us, and that all we've got on this day where we remember our harvest and all that we've been given, food wise, home wise, and everything else. Biggest thing that we have got is God's love for us and that Jesus died for us. Let us say the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.